Well, good morning. Today is Palm Sunday, as Danielle said, and it does give us a unique opportunity to worship together as we gather this morning, because today the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at is directly, it's kind of one of those key moments in the Gospels where we get to catch a glimpse of who Jesus is. We're going to get to see Jesus today given the honor and the glory that he's due. He's given worship that should be ascribed to someone who's God in the flesh. And a couple of weeks ago, we read through the typical Palm Sunday passage in Mark, right? Pastor Derek spoke on Mark chapter 11, and we got to hear Mark's account of the triumphal entry. But this morning, I want to start off today by focusing in on the Gospel of Luke. And so let me set up the scene for you as we begin today. Jesus is entering Jerusalem, right? He's entering at the height of his ministry, the height of his fame and renown, but he's also entering the last week of his life. 5 days from Palm Sunday, Jesus will be crucified on the cross, giving his life to fix our brokenness, to redeem our shame, and to make us right and whole with God again. But on Sunday, he enters as a king. On Sunday, he's heralded as the Messiah and as the Savior. Let's look at Luke chapter 19. Beginning at verse 37, it says this: "As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' Verse 40, he answered them, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" So do you get this picture? Jesus' followers are worshiping with everything they have. They're letting loose. They're praising him with everything that they are. And it's the religious elite who are holding back. They're nervous. They're disturbed by the worship that they're seeing of Jesus. In fact, they're trying to find a way to silence the crowd. They say, "Jesus, rebuke your disciples." And it's Jesus' response to the Pharisees that I want to focus on today. Jesus gestures to the city, to the temple itself, and he says, "Even if you could silence these people, the very stones would cry out. The rocks would lift up worship." Now, I don't believe for one second that this is some empty threat that Jesus is making, that he's speaking in hyperbole or he's exaggerating to make a point. If he can calm the storm, if Christ can raise Lazarus from the dead, if he can open the mouths of the mute and cause them to speak, then surely he can allow creation itself to sing praise to the God who created it, right? And so what Jesus is saying is that to worship God is right, that that's what you and I were made for. That's what you and I were created for, to worship God, our Creator, Jesus, our Savior. And let me be clear, though, God doesn't need you and I to worship him to be complete. He's complete in and of himself. This isn't a picture of some narcissistic, lonely God who creates you and I because he has this need for a pat on the back like a little kid. Rather, what Jesus is actually saying, he's saying, if you don't worship, it's still going to happen anyway. The rocks would cry out. But I'm inviting you to experience life in me, and to experience it in abundance, to begin to worship with the deepest part of who you are, so that it's going to light up your soul more than whatever it is that you're chasing after. It's going to cause you, as you begin to worship the God who created you, it's going to give you joy, and you're going to find purpose. And so the question I want to ponder today for just a moment is, what if we didn't worship? What if that crowd had been silenced? What if the rocks had cried out? What would they have said? I think to start, they might have cried out in praise of the one who created them, right? In praise of the one who created them with just a word. They would have extolled the majesty and the wisdom of their maker who called them forth into being with just his voice. They could have spoken of God, their breaker, the one who took them from the quarry, who broke them down and then formed them into stone that would be fit for the temple. If the rocks had cried out, they could have talked about God as their builder, the one who polished them, the one who fashioned them until they were made anew, stones of great strength and beauty. And each one a part of the whole, until out of them the temple of the Lord was made. And rock is ancient, right? Rock is remembers. And so if the rocks could cry out, they would stand as a testimony to the great promises of God they had seen over the ages. Promises that God made, promises that he kept, promises that he's carrying out into completion. They would tell us of his movements. They would call out his faithfulness and his love over untold centuries, and they would call us to remember. And so, you know, the rocks might cry out, but today we're not going to let them. Don't we have praises to bring as a people of God? Don't we have stories to share? Can't we praise our God, the God who created us and formed us out of the dust and gave us life and breath and purpose? He's our builder too. He breaks us, sometimes painfully, only for us to be made anew, for us to be formed into the people that he's called us and created us to be. Today, we can remember his faithfulness. We can talk about the promises that he's kept. We can talk about the prayers that he's answered, the things he's brought us through. This is our God, and we will not let the rocks cry out for us. Amen? And so today's going to be different. Instead of hearing a 35-minute sermon today, you're going to hear people from Grace tell their story. They're going to talk about how God has shaped their lives, how God is moving and working in them, how he's brought them through disease, or how he's used prayer to help draw them closer to himself. We're going to sing songs of praise, and we're going to proclaim his goodness, his majesty, and his love. And together, we'll worship our God, the creator, maker, builder, and redeemer. So let's pray as we begin. God, we love you. And right now, I pray that you'd open up our hearts to you, that as people begin to share this morning, as we share together as a community of faith, how you've been moving and working in our lives, that God, that we would respond in deep worship, worship that's from the deepest part of who we are. That God, on this Palm Sunday, that we would experience our own triumphal entry, that you would enter into our hearts, that you would be our God and we would be your people. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Take a look at the screen as Michelle and Tony and Gracie kick us off.